Valley Church began, as most churches do, as a small group of people meeting in our homes. This was the summer of 2019. Mark and his wife, Kristen, myself and my wife, Kristen, and my brother, Kenny, who's leading worship here, and his wife, Alex, we had all sensed that God was asking us to plant a church here in our hometown. Mark, Kenny, and I, and then actually each of our wives at different points, all worked together at another church in Salem called Morning Star. So Mark and I were youth pastors there. Kenny was a worship pastor. Many of you guys know this, but I don't want to leave it out of the story because that's part of our spiritual history. We love Morning Star. That's where we came from. Don't want to leave it out of the story. Morning Star was going through a tough season at that time. There was a decent amount of staff transition and some layoffs. So at that point, Mark had resigned. I was one of the layoffs, and my brother Kenny resigned as well to focus on his career as a chaplain with the Salem Police Department. It was a hard season, but it was time for God to move us on from there. And we still have really good relationships with the staff and the people there. We love Morning Star. But that's kind of where we came from a few years ago. So Mark and his wife, Kristen, Kenny and Alex, myself and my wife, Kristen, we all took some time, a season where we prayed and we were seeking counsel about whether or not God actually wanted us to start a church, to plant one here in Salem. And we did feel that God had confirmed this through our time reading the scriptures, through his speaking to us, speaking to me, and then especially through some older, wiser, godly people in our lives who kind of gave us their blessing to move forward with this. And so that was a super important part of the step for us, but we did not know how to plant a church or when to do that. And so, like I said at the very beginning, we just began meeting to pray together and to worship together. And so we had told this group of people, there was probably like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of us, don't you think, babe? More than that? I don't know. Somewhere around there. We had told this group of people, hey, we're going to meet in our houses for prayer and worship, but we are not a church yet. And so I had told this group, like, please continue going wherever it is that you're going. We're not a church yet, so go to real church. So we were kind of just spread out throughout the city, going to a handful of different churches in Salem and then meeting on Sunday evenings to pray about how and when God might want to start this thing. A few years before this, I went to Western Seminary in Portland, and I was in this cohort with, for about 2 years, with a handful of other pastors kind of from the Northwest. And a few of them had planted churches or worked in churches that were from a network of churches called the A Jesus Church Network. It's kind of an awkward name, but it starts with the word A Jesus Church Network. And these people in that cohort just became dear friends of mine, and we kind of came to learn that we shared a lot of common ground as far as our understanding of scriptures and theologies and our desires and goals for the church. And so at that point, I had thought years ago, if I had planted a church ever, I would really like to be a part of that network. The network at that time had churches in Portland and in Hillsboro, Spokane, and Bend, a few other cities, but none in Salem. So fast forward to late spring of 2019, we began to meet, Mark King and I, with the directors of the network to talk about joining with them and planting a church here in Salem. And to make a long story short, they had, at that first meeting, coached us to start meeting for prayer, which is what we started to do. And then they said, just see what happens. Maybe you'll meet for prayer, and that's all that will happen, and that would be great. Or maybe you'll start praying together, and then it will just grow kind of beyond your efforts or beyond your control, and you won't be able to fit in a house anymore, and then maybe it's time for you to become a church. And that is exactly what happened. We started meeting in our homes with open hands. I honestly didn't have any expectations of what those meetings would become. But what happened through that summer was many of you guys kept coming to our houses, and those gatherings got a bit crowded for our little houses, and a handful of people started coming that I didn't know. And so we wondered, maybe it's time to start a church and to like meet in the building together. Simultaneously, many of you, the people that were there at the beginning, kind of shared with us the difficulty of trying to stay plugged in at a church while this gathering wasn't, I didn't call it a church, but they were like, we're not going to stay here long term. Like, obviously, this is becoming something. And so the consensus was, it's time for us to start and to become Valley Church. And so we started, our first service was on October 6, 2019. And we spent the fall just kind of getting our feet under us, learning how to become a church. In February, Just a few months after that, we started meeting in communities. So we started 6 groups with about 50 people, and all but 2 of those people are still a part of our church. And in those same groups, right now, and this our first community meeting, or that week was like, it felt like weeks or a month before the first shelter in place happened. And so that was crazy, and for sure that the Lord kind of was looking after us by helping our church kind of cement into those home groups before the lockdown. So we moved our church service online for a while, and our communities met via Zoom for a while. Meanwhile, I'm still pursuing this kind of official partnership with the Jesus Church Network. And in February of 2020, we signed a document officially signing us on as part of the network. But we had planned on going to this conference at Lake Tahoe in June of 2020 with all the pastors of all those churches. And it was kind of going to be our official like ceremony, ribbon cutting to like be a part of the network. But the conference had to be canceled because of the pandemic. And then in June, we found out that this Jesus Church Network had decided to disband. It's a weird story. Nothing like no funny business or bad stuff, but they just needed to not be an official like hub network for all these churches anymore. And so the good news was that we still had these friendships and relationships with the pastors and the leaders of the network. And so we actually recently got to go to a conference in Lake Tahoe just this last June. And it was all the same churches, all the same pastors and leaders. Just wasn't called the network retreat. It was called the intentional leadership retreat. So we still have those relationships, and I kind of still consider us as linking arms with them and having like-minded churches. Just not a part of the network because it doesn't exist. Okay, back to the story. We're mid shelter in place. We're meeting online, Zoom communities. In July, the gathering restrictions were kind of partially lifted. If you remember, they were kind of lifted in different tiers, depending on the size of the group and the capacity of the room. And given that we were and are a small church that meets in a big enough building, we never had issues with our capacity. We never really had issues with social distancing. And so we have been meeting in person since July of 2020, minus the little 2-week freeze that happened somewhere in there. We got to take off our masks for a hot second, which was fun, and now here we are again wearing masks indoors. Given all that we've been through, though, I'm just really grateful that we get to be here in person. I don't know about you. I still am not taking that for granted. When we launched our church in October, we started with a vision series, like one that I'm going to start next week. So we shared about the kind of different key words of our mission and our vision over the course of several weeks. That's what we're going to do now. We'll do it about this time every year. After we did that vision series, we started teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. And about 2 years later, we are almost through chapter 12. So we are not going intentionally slow, but we want to take our time and teach through it. But it's also going slow because we usually take breaks. So we usually do about 4 to 6 weeks of teaching through Matthew, and then we take a break to talk about something else. So the first season of our church, when we took breaks from teaching through Matthew, we would talk about spiritual disciplines that we kind of as a church wanted to attempt to implement into our lives. So those are things like Sabbath and community, prayer, fasting, reading scripture, silence and solitude. You might remember these if you were there. And then we've also taken other random breaks to talk about other things that the Lord leads us to talk about. And you could dig through the archives of our podcast if you want to remember what they are. But that's kind of been our teaching rhythm, is we teach through a book of the Bible, Matthew. We talk about some kind of spiritual discipline that we want to work on as a church, and then we make room for the Lord to kind of guide us on other topics that we need to address as a church. And for what it's worth, that's our plan moving forward as well. A vision series for this month, back to Matthew sometime in October, and then over the rest of the end of this year, we'll likely dig back into some new spiritual discipline or something else that we kind of want to remind us and reinvite our church to work on together. And then there's going to be some other random topics strewn about as the Lord leads, for sure. We have, over the last 2 years, recommended or kind of participated in a handful of resources. So, like I said, we taught on a handful of spiritual disciplines throughout the last 2 years, and this was kind of in loose conjunction with something called Practicing the Way, which is a small group curriculum or like teaching material where we learn to practice the way of Jesus, where we do the things that he did and attempt to become like him. We call them spiritual disciplines. And so if you missed those, if you weren't here back then, or if, like my community, you kind of only loosely dabbled in the practicing the way side of things, I recommend you check out practicingtheway.org. We think it's really great. You can catch up on Sabbath and community, prayer, reading scripture, fasting, silence and solitude. I think those are the ones that we touched on in our first year. We also have at times recommended a scripture reading plan / phone app called Read Scripture. It's an app on your phone that gives you a Bible reading plan to read through the Bible in a year, but it pairs them with videos from a group called The Bible Project. Talked about them at length, but it's a wonderful nonprofit based in Portland that makes videos about the Bible that show how it's one big story that leads to Jesus, and we love it. They make videos that make me think I wasted some time in seminary because they're free and wonderful, and seminary was not free. It was wonderful. We also spent some time as a church going through a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro. The premise of that is that it's impossible to be spiritually mature if you are emotionally unhealthy. So our discipleship is linked with our emotional health as humans, and the book aims to help us become emotionally healthy people through the lens of the gospel by kind of attempting to unlearn healthy patterns that we've developed over our life or from our family of origin, dealing with our past, learning to slow our life down to just be in God's presence. We love this resource, encourage you to check it out if you haven't yet. So that's just a kind of overview of how we started, where we've been, really, really quick. So I will shift gears a little bit to talk about kind of the, an overview of our church as it stands now. So I wanna talk about our finances really quick. We want to talk about it frequently, so it's not strange for you or for me to talk about it. And so I'll just give you a really flyby kind of overview of what we have going on. We bring in, you guys give, anywhere between $7,000 to $10,000 a month. So for a small church, you guys are incredibly generous, and we say thank you. Thank you very much. We have as low of expenses as possible right now. First thing is that we do give 10% of our annual budget to missions and justice work. So that's 5% here locally in Salem, and then 5% to international or global organizations. We spend around $1,000 a month for our rent for this building, which includes the use of the space on Sunday evenings, not just this room, but the kids' classes and all the kids' like toys and supplies. That also includes office space for Mark and I during the week. The use of the gym, it's really, really amazing, and we're super grateful. This was the first church that we called when we wanted to look for a building, and so it's kind of crazy. We love Calvary Baptist. Mark and I have good relationships with the pastor and the other staff here, and feel like it's a really mutually beneficial relationship. We spend probably between $1,500 to $2,000 a month just on like the operating expenses of the church. So that's ministry supplies for our kids' classes or for communion or food if we do a meal after service, kind of like our office operating expenses, like our software, our like people info database or subscriptions that we have. That includes ministry time and hospitality with our church members. So if that's going out to coffee or to lunch, we like to treat you to that if possible, even though you gave the money in the first place. It's this really backwards thing. You can laugh at that. It's awkward. And then like the boring but necessary stuff, like our insurance and accounting, payroll fees and background checks and all that stuff. Mark and I are the only paid like full-time staff members, and we each take home $3,000 a month. So a good portion of our giving goes so that Mark and I can have full-time jobs and devote our time and our energy to Valley Church. Greta Bryson, who just snuck in the back, not that she would want you to look at her, she's gonna hide, sorry. Sorry, Greta. She oversees our worship. She just had like a surgery on her throat, so she obviously can't sing. But she oversees our worship on Sundays and all the volunteers for making that happen. And we do pay her a small stipend each week that she leads, but we would love to be able to do more for her someday. And then as Mark mentioned very recently, Emily just joined our team as our volunteer Valley Church Kids coordinator. So that's kind of our staff, if you will. My title is Pastor of Teaching and Vision. Mark is the Pastor of Families and Communities. So our job, both of us, first and foremost, honestly, is to follow Jesus, to lead a church by example. So 1 Peter 5, I don't have it on the screen, but describes the job of a pastor or an elder as a willing and eager shepherd, someone who cares for a flock. And it mentions that we don't do this by being like ultra decisive, strong, dominant leaders, but by being humble examples to the flock. So I am, Marcus, we are, first and foremost, Jesus followers, and then shepherds and leaders of this congregation. So I truly believe that's probably the most important thing that I can do as the pastor of this church, and Mark as well. The next most important thing that we do as pastors is we pray for our church at least once a week, sometimes every day when we're in a good groove. When we're in the office together, we have a list of names of everyone in our church, and we take 10 or 15 minutes every day when we're doing well. We need to do that again. Remind me. To just pray for you. And if there's things in your lives, things going on in your lives, we pray for those things. And if there's things going on in your life and we don't know about them, we still pray for you. And so if there is something going on and you want us to pray for you, you can tell us. But we pray for our church. And then after those things, the primary way that I work and kind of shepherd our church is through teaching scripture, listening and attempting to follow where the Lord would lead our church, and thinking and planning kind of the big picture of making sure that all that we do as a church is aligned with our mission and our vision. And the primary way that Mark shepherds our church is focusing his attention on our families and our communities. So he spends a lot of time with our community leaders who kind of function as under-shepherds to their groups. He sets the course for those communities, and when we're ready to launch a new one, Mark will be the one to make that happen. If you're not in one and want to be one, Mark's the guy to talk to. It will not be a fast process to join a group. It's intentionally very slow, and that's because we want our groups to be like really locked in and committed and to become family with each other, and that doesn't happen fast, and it doesn't happen if people are kind of coming in and out of different groups. So if you want to be in one, talk to Mark, and we will make that happen. Up until recently, the families part of Mark's job has been overseeing the kids ministry and the kids classes. And so our hope for Mark, now that Emily has kind of freed up some of the kids coordination from him, is that Mark will be able to focus his attention on shepherding our families, helping husbands and wives in marriage and parenting, equipping our moms and dads to be good disciplers of their kids. And then along with Emily, growing the quality and intentionality of what we do in the classrooms on Sunday. Sound good, Mark? Cool. we also have an advisory board at Valley Church. So that group is me, Mark, my brother Kenny, who is just leading worship, a guy named Mike Zanin, who happens to be my father-in-law, a guy named Jared Vogt, and a guy named Reed Saunders. So this group meets once a quarter when I'm scheduling it effectively. But Mike, Jared, and Reed are older than Mark, Kenny, and I, and they check in on us, and they ask about our lives, our work, our marriages, and of course, they ask about our church. They approve our annual budget, and they approve any changes that we need to make. That's the group that we kind of need to ask approval for if there's something outside of our budget that's expensive. I think it's over $1,000 or $100. I can't remember. We have to get approval for that. It's a big difference between those numbers, I know. Anyway, so they approve our budget and adjustments that we need to make to that. And then they also weigh in heavily, because I ask and invite this, but they weigh in heavily on significant ministry issues that come up. So whether that be conflicts that come up where Mark and I kind of feel like we need some help on how to shepherd or lead in a situation, or any kind of church-wide direction that we want to go, I almost always ask the advisory board or kind of inform them what we're thinking so that they can weigh in and give it a thumbs up or thumbs down, honestly. So an example of that was emotionally healthy spirituality. We did that last year, I think, and I gave them the book and I explained it to them and I told them how we wanted to kind of implement it into the life of our church. And they weighed that, thought about it, and gave it the thumbs up. And so that's why we did that. If I were to ever to suggest some kind of shift or a change in a doctrinal position or something to do with theology that I wanted to present to our church, I would probably choose to share that with the advisory board and kind of allow them to lead and shepherd me, and I would submit to them. That group, the advisory board, is not officially Valley Church's elders. I think our elders must be coming from and residing from within our church, people that actually attend here. And because Jared and Reed don't attend, they are not part of that group, but they essentially function as elders for us as much as they can right now until we can appoint or select some elders from within our church, which we want to do and will do as soon as we possibly can. Okay, that's the quick history and overview of Valley Church, how we started, where we are right now. I probably forgot some things or left some things out, or maybe you have like a red flag or question mark. Come find me and ask me and happily talk to you guys about any questions that you have about any of that. And now I want to just kind of preview our mission before we talk about it for the next few weeks. So our mission and vision actually come straight from the Jesus Church Network, or the thing that used to be the Jesus Church Network. We elected, when we started our church, to adopt the language that most of the churches in that network had used to describe their mission and vision. And so if you went to any of those churches' websites, you will still find this, probably this exact mission statement or some form of it on their website. So we did not reinvent the wheel or come up with something super creative ourselves, but we like it. We feel like it captures what it means to be a church. And to use the least sophisticated but most appropriate phrase, it sets the vibe for what we want to be as a church. Valley Church exists to be a family of missionary disciples. That's our mission. We exist to be a family of missionary disciples who want to see God's kingdom come in Salem as it is in heaven. So our mission is to be a family of missionary disciples. And I actually think it's really important that detail of the mission statement is the word to be. There are many church mission statements that are about what they want to do. What is their goal? What are they trying to accomplish as a church? And I'm not trying to say that that is in any way bad or wrong. I happen to love that our main verb and what we want to do as a church is about who we want to become. Becoming who God wants us to be transformed. I think that is what the Christian life is actually about. Yes, we do lots of things, and in order to become this family of missionary disciples, there are habits that we should put on and begin to do, but God is concerned with the church he is creating. Who are we becoming? And so we do things to the end of becoming like Jesus and becoming a family of missionary disciples. And as we do this, as we accomplish that mission ever so gradually, we think that our vision will become more of a reality, which is that God's kingdom would come in Salem as it is in heaven. So Valley Church exists to be a family of missionary disciples who want to see God's kingdom come in Salem as it is in heaven. So for the next 3 weeks at least, I don't know if we'll do an extra week on something else, but 3 weeks, we'll take a week to talk about each of those keywords: family, mission, and disciple. And we will attempt to answer some questions like, what does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean for a church to be family? Why do we use that word? And what does it mean for us to be missionary disciples? And then also I want to kind of each week talk about how becoming a family of missionary disciples leads to that vision becoming reality, God's kingdom come in Salem as it is in heaven. So how does us becoming fully formed disciples lead to God's kingdom come here in Salem? Or how does us becoming a family lead to God's kingdom come in Salem, and so on? In each teaching, I'm hoping that we'll be able to kind of plot out how the things we do as a church will lead to us becoming a family of missionary disciples. So what are we doing, or what are we not doing that we need to do to get us to that spot? So that might mean that we need to reignite and restart some things that maybe we started but stopped doing, or maybe we need to start trying some new things as a church to fulfill this mission. So that's our plan for the next few weeks. I don't even know what order I'm gonna do any of those things in, but we're gonna talk about family, being on mission, and being disciples, as that is our goal as a church. Again, for some of you, it could be review, but for those of you that are new, I'm hoping that it will kind of give you some familiarity on what we are about as a church, or at least what we want to be about, what we are attempting to do. But that's Valley Church. That's the 20, 30-something minute history of who we are, how we got here, and there's no good way to necessarily transition us into a time of worship after just talking about our church. But worship band, you can come up here, and let's just take let's take a few minutes to just, if you've been a part of Valley for any length of time, maybe we can offer some thanks that God has somehow kept us intact through a crazy couple years. So let's just do that. Spend some time praying, and then we'll actually take communion together. So there's communion on this table in the hallway out there. If you missed that on your way in, you guys can get up now, actually, and go grab a cup and bring it back with you. But let's just spend some time praying and thanking God for what he's has done here at Valley. God, we say thank you, first and foremost, for creating this church, for allowing us to be a part of the universal church, of your worldwide global family of all who say Jesus is Lord. We are part of that family, and we are also a unique, specific, local expression of that family. And we thank you for creating and building this local church. And we pray that everything we do would be to your glory, to making much of your name in our lives and in Salem and in the world. We do love you so much. And God, we're grateful for all the ways that you have provided for us. You have taken care of us. You have been seeking us and pursuing us this week, desiring that we would just turn our ear to you and turn our face to you and listen and be with you. And if it's been a minute since we've done that, would you help us do that now? Would your Spirit come and knock on the door of our heart, invite us, bid us to come into your presence, to acknowledge that you're here and waiting for us? And as we participate in this ancient sacrament of remembering the broken body and blood of Jesus, would you just speak to us and draw us in, remind us of who we are in you? Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.